Well, this is getting cut up. So, okay, I'm just going to go straight into it. Hi, everyone. Thank you very much for logging in, joining in, listening to my very first podcast. The guest I've got today is my really good friend, Cesar Kitunga. Do I say junior? Does it matter?
Yeah. Copyrights.
your dad getting credit for this. It's my good friend, Cesar Kitunga Jr. We went to school together back in South Africa. We've known each other for about 8 years. And yeah, so we're going to have a really interesting conversation today about getting started on creative projects. So, Cesar, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
Obviously, the reason that you're on here is because we're both working on our own respective creative projects. And we both experienced similar kind of patterns of kind of struggling to get started. And essentially, what I'd like to kind of know is like the different projects that you've been working on. I know you're working on a particular project regarding some photography stuff. So could you just like tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah. So like I've come to realize that, in this whole polarity that we're going through of men versus women, which is not really that, it's just like figuring out what role do men play as allies towards women, and in admitting that we have certain advantages, and also that women are going through constant struggles, that it's important to have male role models or male conversations, just because, I mean, I have three older sisters, and my mom also is, like, independent. She has a master's degree, but she's also, like, was very active at home, and still, like, I've done things in my life that I'm not proud of as a man, or things that I feel like I wasn't treating women fairly. So I felt that it's important to for guys to be part of these conversations. But at the same time, I'm not entitled to tell these women's stories, but I'd rather provide a platform for them to express themselves. So now I'm doing that through Instagram by doing portrait photography, where I, in a way, interview different women and ask them about their experiences. But also like display a little bit in pictures, which is also kind of like a research, because in these conversations, I kind of get a sense of like how they want to be portrayed, and you find some interesting things, which I'll share with later on, but you just find some interesting things about what, connotations or, how women really don't want to be viewed so far, generally speaking, so yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
That's truly amazing. And, I suppose, what kind of got you kind of kicked into action in terms of this is something I want to do from like an idea and then moving on into putting that into like an actual project?
So I've always had, I like public speaking and I enjoy talking to people. I was a resident assistant in college, so I really got to communicate with people and hear from them and also like build connection between different groups. And I've always been interested in cinematography and photography and art in general. I don't know if you remember back in high school, like 2012, I bought a camera, but like I took like 10 pictures and that was it,
I remember your camera,
Exactly. So like this year or this past year, I decided that, no, I really want to do this and I want to get serious about it. And it took a while. I'm honestly a year behind schedule. I finally got started.
But, okay, that's quite interesting you said schedule. Like, I mean, had you kind of mapped out, like, a 2-3-year plan into, or even 5-year plan of how this is all kind of gonna break down step by step? Because I remember when I graduated from university and I was in that kind of limbo zone between not doing, between, like, not having a job and, there's no way around it. I was unemployed. I literally had, like, no job. And I was just like, how do I keep... I was going to, like, sugarcoat this. I was just unemployed. And I was like, how am I going to keep myself busy? And then this is kind of, like, this is how far back this idea goes, in terms, like, at least on my side, in terms of where... How do I keep myself busy? Let me do a project. I'm going to start small, build myself up, and all that. But you said, like, you were behind schedule. For me, like, I was going to... start on an Instagram page and then like step up to a website and all that shit. Okay, we're gonna swear on this podcast, but essentially, so I had like my idea, but then it was kind of hard to follow that. So like, what was your kind of schedule, or what was your kind of plan, if you had one?
Yeah, so like it started with conversations with some friends, and then when I was about to graduate last year for my first degree, I decided that, hey, you know what? I graduated in May, by June or July. I want to have this launched.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It didn't happen. Only 2, 3 weeks ago, I actually did a 5-year plan with a
Right.
friend. She had to do it because her dad made her do it.
Her
But I
dad made her do
decided
it.
her dad
As in
made her do it.
like,
Like she was graduating, and as she
yeah.
graduated, he was like, "What are you doing next? You need to figure out your life. So you need to have a 5, 10, 20-year plan."
Twinsy. I don't even know what I'm having for dinner tonight, dude. Like, people are like, "Oh, what's your 5-year
I know. But the idea is that it can be flexible.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you've heard this before, but people are more likely to achieve things that they write down. And that was the biggest difference between this year and last year. Last year, I didn't write anything down. They were kind of arbitrary dates. This year, I actually wrote down my 5-year plan. I got on Google Docs, and then
Yeah.
from that, I'm breaking down to a 3-year plan and then a 1-year plan. So working basically backwards, where do I want to be and how do I get there? And that holds me accountable,
Yeah.
So now, before I'd said that and it didn't work out, now I said, okay, in 5 years, I want to be able to be like filming documentaries. How I want to start with that is with pictures. It's one of the
Yeah.
easiest ways to start, especially because cameras are so convenient these days and can do so many
Yeah.
different things.
Yeah. Again, so similarly, you had like you're writing something down to make something like make it accountable, and you have to kind of follow up on that. And then is that kind of that's accountability to yourself, right? It's not like a wider scale thing, because I think like for one thing that I've I wouldn't say that's held me back, but I think I've kind of like tricked myself into as a motivation with regards to this is I've told a lot of people about it. So I'm like, oh yeah, I've started writing this blog about music and psychology, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, I'm going to start a podcast just to kind of get some interesting people on and have these conversations. And so I tell a lot of people about this, and to an extent, I feel that as because I've done that, because I've spoken to other people about it, I've made it real, and now I need to kind of deliver on this. And I mean, this is just a thing that like works for me in terms of, but I don't know if that's like a good way of motivating yourself, because now it's like it's almost like you could fail because you've spoken to people about a certain thing, and if you don't deliver it, then like you haven't achieved that said thing. But also, I mean, like, we can just kind of open this up and like just make it a kind of flowing conversation as opposed to just like an interview kind of thing. But I don't know. Like, for me, it's just been. I think one thing that's definitely held me back as well in terms of like the projects is just like a fear of failure kind of thing. And I think probably a lot of people could like relate to this. Isn't like you quite depending on the scale of your project, you could be quite overwhelmed by kind of how big you think it might be. And or how much you're just gonna like require, how much you're gonna be, you're gonna have to commit to it. And I don't know if you've experienced this as well, because I mean, if you're gonna scale it up to go like on your, like you said, I'm gonna do documentaries or something, film documentaries, or I don't know how far you're kind of like planning that, imagining that to go, but. On, but then like then you're thinking, okay, like what commitments do what do I need to do now, and like what am I gonna have to let go eventually, like in the future, in order to completely commit to that, or kind of balance it out with like your normal day-to-day life.
So even and with that, like, because we had this conversation as well, where we were like, we're gonna hold each other accountable. And I think this all goes down to like knowing yourself. We're both competitive, so we thought, okay, if we both have these projects that are kind of like similar but different as well, how can we hold each other accountable by doing this? Because I know that if you're doing something, I'll be like, well, he's doing this, so that means that I can do it too, and you start doing it. I even had friends saying like, hey, on this date, check up on me and be like, where's this? And it was, but it wasn't working. I mean, I'm motivated by internal factors, but I'm also motivated by external factors. And I think that the biggest thing is that fear of failure. So you want to start, you want to be perfect, you want to make sure that you got the, for me, for example, I want to get the right lighting, or my pictures are good, or I know how to use Photoshop and Illustrator. But I think also I realized that for me is learning. I'm better when I have somebody that teaches me what to do, and right now I'm having to teach myself how to be like a how to self-teach. And now that I'm become as I become more comfortable with self-teaching, the more I get done, because that fear of not succeeding is becomes less and less. You know, and any like I see like a lot of vloggers or influencers or whatever, they say that they need to get started. You know, the hardest part is getting started. It's like when you procrastinate for an assignment or whatever, for those of you that still do those things.
Yeah, this lifestyle out of university, yeah.
Exactly. But like, you know, you the hardest part is get started. When you get started, you're like, oh, why didn't I just start this yesterday or a week before? You know, so like, just get started. And then some people, they suggest like, start with something that you enjoy. You know, so I enjoy conversations, and that's why sometimes it's good to be working with someone. So that's it. Like, knowing yourself is the best way to get started.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with a lot of what you said. There were some really like good points that I kind of want to delve into a bit more. Because the thing is, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's so I wouldn't say like cliche, but like it's definitely like the hardest bit is literally getting started. But then it's all the stuff that you do around that, and then you think that getting started like there's getting started, but there's a lot of stuff that you have to do beforehand before you can even get started. And then, but I think before you qualify that as now I've started, for example, right now with the recording of the podcast, I mean, I bought the equipment, had did some research on different softwares to use. I listened to like other podcasts and kind of saw what they were doing. We even had a conversation before about kind of like how to structure it and that kind of stuff. And I think that you can kind of get lost in, at least what I did to myself, I kind of got lost in like, oh, let me like prepare this and let me prepare this and make sure everything's kind of perfect before I can even start. And which to an extent I think is also another idea, like an element of there's kind of an aspect of perfectionism comes in, and an idea of there's a similar what you said earlier about kind of teaching yourself and like changing the focus on I'm gonna release something, I'm gonna put something out there that's 100% perfect for like first time off, but in reality you really need to kind of put out a lot of like demos. You need to do a lot of kind of like what's the word I'm looking for, just like practice runs and that kind of stuff, just kind of build your kind of comfort and teach yourself what works and what doesn't work. I think what I mean in the same way that like I mean when you listen to like an album, let's say a Grammy award-winning album, these artists are not coming out of from zero dropping a Grammy award-winning album. Or like you see a director do one of the biggest grossing movies, they haven't come from zero and all the way like gone all the way up to directing this massive movie. They've done a lot of different projects beforehand. They've kind of just got started as well. Like with I think that with writing and like with even like another skill, say like drawing or painting or something, you start small, you mess up a lot and then you improve yourself. But I think it's the idea of I think it's getting comfortable with the fact that understanding that off the bat I'm not going to be perfect. It's not going to be amazing, but frame that as if at least for me this I don't know if other people are going to relate to this as well, but for me it's going to be an element of take this as a learning experience, because you kind of have to suck a bit at the beginning, and then like off the back of that you just learn every step of the way. And then again, this is all kind of hypothetical and it's all kind of like all up in the air, but like, until you kind of get into it, it's a lot. Then you kind of realize the process. But yeah, I think what you said as well about the competitive side is quite, is actually something I wrote down even beforehand, because I suppose with our backgrounds in competitive sport, do you think that has an influence in terms of kind of expectations you have for yourself or how you see yourself in a field like with other people? So you see other people doing similar projects or anything along those lines?
You know, I'm the kind of person that, and I think you're like this too. Like when you do something, you're in it to win it. You
Oh
know,
yeah.
I have
Yeah,
a.
I was like, yeah, we're here to win. There's participation trophies for who? No.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when we even played pickup in like HPC. You know,
Do
like it would be
I
like a chilled.
can a bit.
What?
Do you wanna translate what you mean by pickup?
Pickup. Oh, sorry. pickup is like just playing soccer for fun. And but and like we would play. I remember this one time, we're not even one time, every time we played, this is literally like for you guys to bring context. We're in this school that is like everybody's an athlete. See, like most people have played professional or national level. You know, we had a few classmates that went to the Olympics. Like, so this is a legit school. And then during the week, we compete against other like big teams. But this is like a random afternoon playing just for fun,
Yeah,
you
just
know, no
Friday
stakes at
after
hand,
school.
right? Yeah. And Thomas is out here slide tackling dudes. Because he doesn't want to lose, you know. But like, it's that kind of mentality. Like, whatever we're doing, whenever we're doing, you want it to be the best, you know. And I think that after you leave that environment where you have coaching and you have all of these other resources to help you become better, you know, here we're starting from scratch. So we want to make sure that once we're in the field, it's not just going to be like a walkover, you know. We want to be able to like be able to hold our own against these people. But we don't realize that we need to track momentum, you know. So I think that competitive nature gives us that advantage of like, once we get started, we're in it to win it. But to get started, we're like, we really try to prepare ourselves because we don't want to lose. You know, we don't go in it to lose.
Yeah, no, I think that's like super, super important. And this kind of, I think, yeah, there's an element of kind of getting used to losing, or this whole time. I mean, there are countless quotes on, or like Michael Jordan, or how many shots that he missed, or something. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, losing hurts, dude. It's just like, if something doesn't work out, like, I mean, even like me personally, it will take. It could be like the smallest thing, like the most unnecessary thing. I remember last year when I worked in my previous role at my current job, I worked in sales for a bit, and we had some like arbitrary kind of competitions. It was good kind of like incentives, but like it was, I mean, you were cold calling people, and there was like an incentive of, we had calling competitions, which it would be like every like random Tuesday, but I would lose those, and that would like ruin my Tuesday. And that's kind of like my day. Like, even though it's not, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it means absolutely nothing at all. But I mean, there was just a small competition, and I would get like really invested into that. And I found that, at least on my side, if I went in with expectations of, like, I've grown up kind of like playing sports and being good at sports, and kind of generally, probably more often than not, being good at like things that I've tried. And then this kind of competitive nature just kind of feeds back into itself, and all of a sudden I'm in a situation where like I'm not doing well, and that was difficult. And I think that can definitely, I mean, it knocks your confidence, obviously. And then I think with that kind of translates or kind of filters into lots of other aspects of life, because if you lose your confidence, like lose confidence and self-esteem with that kind of stuff, you don't believe in yourself as much. And then I think kind of, especially when you go into something like you try to do like a creative project, and which you essentially, before you even start, like you only have yourself. You have like, though, I mean, you've got your like friends in the group chat. They're like, "Oh yeah, dude, that was amazing," but like that's a little echo chamber of like supporting yourself. But if you really want to put it out there to other people, then yeah, there's like an element of that self-esteem, and then like you don't want to keep losing. So yeah, no, I think. But then the point I wanted to make with this is that if I had reframed that and saw it as a kind of an opportunity to grow and like learn from the mistakes and that kind of stuff, as opposed to going, it's a win or lose binary kind of situation, then I think that things could like could have been different. But I definitely think, in terms of, that's the same with other kind of creative situations. For example, if you're doing photography, it's good to kind of look back and see where you were, and don't look that as a lot look at it as a loss, because you don't think it's good enough, but look at it as a kind of stepping stone to grow. So yeah, if that makes sense. But I mean, this is like kind of limited to this kind of situation, but like the idea can apply, like, I don't know, across the board and stuff.
Yeah, it translates to anything really. I mean, I think that, you know, it is a bit of a cliche, yes, but competing against yourself, you know, I think that my best moments in life is when I've been competing against myself. And I think you use other people as a measure of like what you can achieve. You know, so for example, I see in sports, it used to be I wanted to get better. I wanted to be a better player. And I would see other players in my city and be like, oh, I can be as good as him. How do I get there? I got to be better than myself than I was yesterday. I do that. And to the point where that one person that I looked at, I'm better than them now. And I'm like, okay, I'm the best in this area. I'm best in my coach used to joke, be not joke, but say, be the best in the city, then in your region, and then your province, and then your country. And that was that experience of like, I was the best in my area, then in my club, then my city. And then I went to HBC and I'm like, I found a whole group of other people that were the best where they came from, you know? And I think there I kind of lost the sight of like being the better than myself, and I focused too much on the competition, and that messed up with my self-esteem.
Yeah.
You know, I came to the U.S. and I had a similar situation. In photography, I see, you know, I look at my pictures that I've just posted, you know, in a measure of like a few months, and I see my first picture and my last pictures, and even my edits, and I can see that growth, and it's quite satisfying,
yeah.
You know. And I think that at some point, I'm going to be able to look at those and then look at somebody like a photographer that I aspire to be like or better than, you know, and be like, oh, okay, this is the measure. Somebody did this, so this is a possibility. I can be this good. But in order to be that, I need to be better than myself first, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps you, like, not stay comfortable. It's easy to be like, oh, yesterday I recorded a podcast, or yesterday I had this one conversation, or yesterday I did one push-up, you know.
Yeah.
Like 10 pictures. And it's easy to get comfortable when if you see somebody that's putting a lot of more work in or has a high ceiling, you know that, okay, you're doing better, but you can do more, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's it's a healthier form of competition when you compete against yourself, because you're doing better. You have that sense of gratitude and satisfaction because you can actually see results. Because that's another thing with us. Like, we need rewards to see, like, hey, I'm doing better. Because that's really what rewards are. It's just like a measure of your improvement or how well you're doing. So competing against yourself and having that frame of reference, you get that instant gratification that we're used to. And then you look at other people or your competitors to like gauge the possibilities of where you can get or where you can be.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting in terms of, you kind of firstly compete with yourself and see how you're improving, and then focus in, like, internally, and then just look outside for kind of just external kind of measures, just like to benchmark, okay, no, here I am, here I am, and then kind of go back and just improve on yourself, as opposed to, it's quite harder to do, but it's a lot easier to always look out and then not really focus on the progress that you're making, and just always going, looking at someone else and just going, oh, look how far they've got. Regardless of, I mean, like, obviously you don't necessarily know their story or like their experience. Because they could have been doing they could have taken like 5 years to get there, and you've only been doing something for 1 year, and you're looking at them going, oh man, look how good they are. But you don't understand, like, you don't necessarily know how much effort they put in already. I think it's quite, definitely the whole thing about what you're saying with your coach about, be the best person in your city, in your team, then your city, then like, and scale it up. I think it's just an element of being a big fish in a small pond, and then you just have to move to a bigger pond every single time. And then, I mean, I think for me personally, my motivation would just be like, if I do something, I want to be the best at that thing that I'm doing. But which I think within kind of something, I don't know, some things are easily measurable. So, I mean, like, if you're a sprinter, you're measured by your time. If you do something else, you're measured by your, like, distance covered or that kind of thing. With football, football's a bit different because it's, like, a team sport, but they're, like, different measures. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can kind of get really down into the detail of that. I think when you said something like, so this is my thing. When you look at something a bit more arbitrary, like, or subjective, such as a photography and writing, how, and you said you measure yourself against others, how are you measuring yourself? I mean, something like Instagram is like, the measuring is likes, which is a whole different conversation in itself. But how are you kind of measuring? How are you measuring yourself in terms of something like photography? Because for me, if I'm doing writing, the reason, like, when I did writing, I didn't look at it. I do it very much for myself, as in, like, how can I keep improving, as opposed to I want to be, I don't know, just like something. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
So I can talk a little bit more of photography just because it's what I'm doing. I would say I get feedback from friends, because it is subjective. I always send it, when I do a picture, I send to I have a key group of friends that I send to, and then they say, oh, I like this, I don't like this about it, because I'm still figuring out my identity as well. I don't want to call myself a photographer yet, because I don't feel I've earned it. I say that I also look, when I look at somebody else's pictures, I look at like the color scheme, because you can really, and you can measure in a way. Like, I look at the color scheme, the balance, the exposure, How much of it is edits? How much of it is like, does it look like just a raw picture? And
right.
how pleasing it is to my eyes, you know?
Okay.
Because that's the big thing about photography. You look at something and you enjoy it, you like it, you feel a certain way, you know?
Yeah.
So when I look at my own pictures, how pleased am I with them? Do I like how it came out? Like, do I like mm-hmm. that? Do I feel like this angle is too plain? This isn't interesting enough, you know? And that's just how I measure it. And I see it more and more. I see my first picture. Oh, the subject is just centered. Okay, now I'm finding different angles. I also see, for example, my experiences with quote-unquote models. You know, so like this past weekend, I was doing like a yesterday. I was doing a shooting with a photographer that I just met randomly. It was by occasion. But he's been doing this since March. And I think some of his pictures, I think he's raw, especially his raw pictures. Some of them I think are better than mine, you know.
Yeah.
But like how I work with the model, he was very impressed. He was like, wow, I really posing. He's like, I don't know how to pose the models as well as you do yet. I don't know how to make them
yeah.
as comfortable as you do. You know, so there's some aspects of it that I know, hey, I'm good at this. How do I become
yeah.
better? And use that as my identity as a photographer, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you know what? My first photo shoot, I was so nervous to tell the model what to do. Today, literally 2 months later, really, like somebody's looking up to me and is like, yo, like I really like how you work with that. And that can be a measure of a success in something so subjective, you know?
I think that's, yeah, it definitely like highlights some really interesting points. And like what I think, definitely very important to get feedback from, I think, your kind of close friends or like people who like in your immediate circle, because that will, I think you can probably trust them to give an absolute, we'll probably break it down into a couple of groups. So you got your like close friends who will give you honest opinions. You got your like middle group of friends who are like, oh my God, I love literally everything that you do. And you're like, give me some constructive feedback. Give like, what do you not like about this? Oh no, it's great. No, like give me actual feedback.
Exactly.
And then you get like another group of people, like strangers. I think this is when you post it out into like a public space or like any social media page and you make that public, then you will get like complete strangers just going like, nah, this is awful, like what is this trash?
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
But then I think there's an element of breaking that down into, are you gonna give me feedback or you just or like constructive feedback as opposed to what do you not like about this, or is your opinion like opinion is that you don't like it, you don't have a reason why? I think when you're kind of getting feedback off other people, it's give me some feedback that I can work with. If you just say, this is trash, I don't like it, then I'm going to completely discard your opinion because you're really not doing anything for me right now.
And
there's like another element to that as well, where I think that, I think there are a lot of, at least for me, there's like a tweet that I saw, but it was something along the lines of you might be shy and holding yourself back, but there are people out there, even like people that in the same industry, in the same area, that I wouldn't say like are intimidated by you, but there are elements that you have that they wish you they had. And they may be like more advanced and more developed, more experienced. But they look at you and go like, wow, like, you know what, this guy has, the way he writes this, the way he uses these angles, the way this, like if it's a dancer, I don't know, their technique on this, like show me. And like, if you kind of create that kind of environment where it's not just, I need to be better than you, but like help each other. And then if you're competing against yourself, then like you could, then all you're going to do is improve as opposed to kind of tail off. But I remember how nervous I was when I finished, I wrote my first couple of posts and I put them and I was like, okay, you know what, I'm kind of writing it for myself, but I think other people can definitely be quite interested in this as well. So let me create a Facebook page. And then with that Facebook page, obviously you have the element of inviting people to come and like your page. And I was so nervous when I was just clicking people to like, there's some people I'm like, oh wait, no, we had that one argument, or like, I don't get along with you. I'd skip them out and then just go like, let me just like invite people that like probably like this. And I mean, in hindsight, I'm like, I'll probably go back and just go like, yo, this is what I'm working on. Like, if you don't like it, whatever, if you do like it, cool. Thanks. But,
yeah.
I just remember like how nervous I was when I started sharing that. So I don't know, like, do you kind of, Do you kind of feel nervous as well, like when you start like working on a particular project, or it's not like a fully developed idea and like you start sharing with people?
Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, I enjoy constructive criticism, you know, and that's why I'm also very like I'm fortunate that I have a good cool group of friends like you, for example, that I can come to, and I'm gonna get honest feedback. But yeah, because you're making yourself vulnerable. You know, you're sharing a part of yourself, and you know, depending on how they do it, they really have a chance to break you down. You know, so that's you gotta be careful who you trust that with. But also, it comes down to like, why are you doing it? Are you doing this for other people? You know, because if you're doing this for other people, then yeah, it's even more scary because their feedback is everything to you. I'm doing
100%,
this
yeah.
right now. I'm doing this for myself. You know, I'm all about. I want to tell my own stories. I want to tell other people to tell their. I want to help people to tell their stories that otherwise wouldn't be able to tell, or have a platform to do so. You know, so because that's my main goal. Like if I take a picture and I'm happy with it, you know, if I take a picture of someone and I use it to do like a portrait journal where somebody's and I use it as for them to tell their story, you know, like Humans of New York, for example, and the person who I took the picture of likes the picture, that's a successful picture for me, you know, because I've reached my goal. If other people like it, you know,
It's a
that's a
bonus.
bonus. Yeah, you know, but I've achieved my goals of like I'm satisfied and my clients are satisfied and that's it.
Yeah, no, I really like that. And that's actually something I was gonna kind of build up to or kind of get. I was gonna lead the conversation that way anyway. But it's I'm just like I don't want to sound like too cliched, but it's understanding the why, as in like why are you doing this? I think
Yes.
before kind of getting into anything, you need to understand why you're doing something. If for example, like why am I writing? Why am I doing photography? Like, yeah, there's an element of like, yeah, I enjoy doing it, but then if you enjoy doing it, it can like stay as a hobby, and then like how much further are you gonna take it? Because there needs to be more of a kind
Yes.
of like an internal motive. Because like hobbies, you pick up and drop off like really quickly. Like I picked up the ukulele after a couple of years ago, and I haven't touched it in
Yeah.
ages. And like the why for my doing that was because oh yeah, I kind of enjoyed it for a time, and now like I've dropped it off. But like. And I think that also helps in terms of the days when you're just like, oh, I can't be fucked with this right now. Or I can't be, yeah, I don't want to get out of bed. Or I've told myself that I'm gonna do some writing today, but I can't really be bothered. But like if you have that why in terms of I like, yeah, so if for you it's like I'm not necessarily doing it just for recognition, but like your why is I want to improve as a photographer. And then like if you keep asking like why, because this is something I'm passionate about, and then like you keep like digging deeper and understanding exactly what the motivation is. Because if you have a very flimsy why, then the smallest excuse is gonna knock you off course. Like, oh,
Absolutely.
I mean, oh, I was gonna do some writing today, but oh, the sun's out, you know, so I'm just gonna go sit in the park for a bit. And then yeah, you're
Yeah, I was gonna
done.
work out.
Like
I was gonna go work out today, and it's a little cold outside. Somebody's gonna stay in.
yeah, exactly. Like, oh man, the other way. Oh yeah, no, I'm gonna start studying at like 3 o'clock, and it's like at 3:03 right now, and I can't start working until like 4 o'clock now. Like, what kind of
Right?
psycho starts?
Thank you. Yeah. Like, who does that?
Exactly. Like this, we don't live in a lawless society. You have to start working on the half hour, an hour. So, I think again, it's kind of like making excuses for yourself. And but if you have that why in terms of a good, yeah, if you have kind of solid foundation, and this can apply for a lot of things as well. I think if you're doing something like if you want to lose weight or if you want to go to the gym and start like picking like improve your getting like a new PB or something, then it's like in terms of then a motivation is you've got that goal that you're working towards, and then when your alarm goes off, you're like, okay, cool, I know why I'm getting out of bed. Which actually, to be fair, I've started. I think there's an element of kind of self-awareness. You need to know yourself as well and kind of what motivates you.
Exactly.
And because different people are motivated by different things. If your motivation is completely like dependent on other people, if you are so like if you're only doing this for likes, then I mean it's gonna be a long road for you
Yo,
because
yeah.
you
Or a very short one. Or a very short one.
yeah, very true. Yeah. That's so true. But yeah, no, the thing is, so for example, I've taken on this like a small like it's not like an initiative. I've just started doing this thing where it's like a goal tracker. So there are a couple of things that I would that I want to work on or I want to develop. It could be something as simple as, okay, me personally, like, for example, I want to improve my Portuguese. So therefore, if I read, yeah, it's a soft subject there. But yeah, but like what I would do is I'll say, okay, I want to read 2 articles a day. And yeah. Then in Portuguese, obviously I improve my vocabulary, blah, blah, blah. And just kind of get used to kind of speaking Portuguese a bit more, kind of develop that habit. Or, for example, it can be like, oh, I want to go to the gym and I want to do some running. I need to make sure that I go to the gym. And, like, especially working 9 to 5, you're just like, oh, I don't want to do it today. But so what I did was I created a tracker. And then it would, like, with intermittent rewards. So, and it could be like arbitrary things. For example, it could be something that I actually want, or something that I need, or something that I just need to do. So, for example, say like taking the reading Portuguese case, where so I'd make a list and then like do 30. I have to like check it off 30 times. So that's 30 different days where I read 2 articles. But every 5 or every 10 time, every 10 days, then I get to. I get some sort of reward, and that could be, for example, if there's this new restaurant I want to check out, I can't do it until I've read like 10 articles. So yeah. And for example, if I want to I've seen you know, like a new pair of shoes that I want to buy, then mm-hmm. I can't. This is the thing. This is where it comes into, like, it can be something big, like an experience, or it could be something just like a treat yourself, like a pair of shoes. But I can't. Yep. If I wanted to, I could just go up, get out, go to the store now and buy the shoes. But if I've told myself, if I've worked those 10 days, I've gone to the gym 10 days in a row, not 10 days in a row, but I've gone to the gym 10 times, then I can get the shoes. So it's more, this is just a thing that works for me. And it's just more of a, then like when the alarm goes off at like 6:30, I need to go to the gym. I'm like, oh, you know what? I just need 2 more days and then I can get those shoes. And then that's where the reward comes in. But yes. There's an element of discipline required in order to do that. But yeah, no, I think it, you kind of hold yourself accountable as well. So
yeah.
Do you have any kind of like, I don't know, tactics or kind of like things that keep you in line or like discipline things? Because I think different things work for different people.
Exactly. And then again, I think the biggest thing people are going to take away from this is like, you got to know yourself.
Yeah.
You know? So for example, for working out, I've been in some form of structured competitive sport with coaches since I was 12. Yeah. But like I'd say when I went to HBC, so that was like 6, 7, 17 years old. Mm-hmm. That's when it really was like full-time professional coaches at facilities. Yeah. Until last year when I was 24, you know, and I left that environment and I noticed that it was hard to keep myself accountable, you know.
Yeah.
even if I went to the gym, I wouldn't push myself as hard as I normally would, you know. Mm-hmm. So then I started writing stuff down, you know, and then because working out is something that I enjoy, and I literally can feel not depressed, but I get really low if I don't do it. It's easier to hold myself accountable. So for that, I don't need to put in much effort to do it. But for example, reading, you know, I like reading, but it takes a little bit more effort to do so. So for example, I wrote on my wall, I have right now a note that says read 20 pages of any book a day, you know?
Yeah.
So I can just do in the morning, so I read 5 pages, you know, I usually do that. If I have a goal or a task that's a must, I start my day by doing it to just get it out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, if I leave it for later, I won't do it.
Yeah, true.
Facts, you know. So you just gotta know yourself. Asking a friend to hold you accountable, setting a day of the week to do so. For example, cooking, meal prep. If I don't meal prep by Sunday at like 7 p.m., I'm not meal prepping for the week. You know. So.
Yeah. Takeaway all day.
Exactly, and then you also gotta have like a backup plan, like a plan of action. So if the gym is closed, for example. I know I will put effort into working out somehow. I'll go for a run. I'll do something. If I have a photo shoot and it's raining, you know, I'll tell the person, hey, we can do something.
Redhead. Yeah.
There's a backup plan. But if I know that if I'm somebody that doesn't like to work out and I say, I'm going to work out and then it's snowing, it's too cold for me to work out. Now, you got to have like a band or something in your room to make sure that. Whatever excuse comes up, It's not excuse enough for you not to do it.
I really like that. Like I didn't even think about the backup plan, because for me, if especially in the winter, I hate the cold so much. For me to get out of bed in the winter, honestly, coming from a country where we had 25, 30 degree winters, and then moving here where it gets to 20 degrees, and my people in my office are like, oh wow, weather's gonna be lovely this weekend, isn't it? I'm just like, oh, 20 degrees is jumper weather, yo. Yeah. I'm coming with layers, we're not playing around here. and then even in the winter, anything under double digits is a problem for me. And then so especially because for me, when I go to the gym in the mornings, and because in the evenings it's super crowded, people just kind of get in the way, and I like having the evenings to myself. And also I can wake up early. I'm I suppose not necessarily disciplined enough, but I'm one of those people that alarm goes off, I can get up and go. But add the element of cold, then my body's like, okay, you know what, Thomas, we don't have to go. But then if I've got that motivation, then I've got say if I follow that chart, you're on 14 days of going to the gym, 15 days now you can have have a little holiday or something, or whatever is next on my motivation or goal tracker, then I don't have a backup plan, because then I'm it's snowing, I don't want to get my feet wet, blah blah on the way there. But that's actually a really good point, because it's so easy to just look out and be like, not happening today, especially if something's closed. I think it's just an element of putting these different systems in place. And honestly, just kind of sit down with yourself to kind of figure out, be honest with yourself. It's great going, when the alarm goes off, I'll definitely get up. No, what is going to make me get up? Another thing I did actually was I put my, I mixed two things in one. So one thing I wanted to do was stop looking at my phone once I go into bed. Because I'd open Twitter and I'd just be there for the next 25 minutes. And then I'm not getting any sleep. So what I started doing was, if I'm in bed, then I can't have my phone. So I would put my phone, and I put it on the other side of the room, and which had two effects. Firstly, I couldn't sit on at the other side of the room and be on my phone, because I want to go to bed, so I had to put the phone away. Secondly, when the alarm goes off in the morning, I physically have to get out of bed to turn it off. And then once I'm out of bed, then I'm like, you know what, momentum's here, now we can get up and go. Because the amount of times I just reached over, turned off my phone, and just gone back to sleep is, I'm sure loads of people can relate to that too, and it's just countless. But I think there was one or two other things I wanted to bring. To be fair, let me throw in the other quick fire question, just to kind of break it up a bit, and then I've just got one more thing I want to talk about. But how would the word I've spelled GIF, do you pronounce it GIF or GIF?
I say GIF.
You say GIF? So this is the thing, there's some I think the actual way to say it is GIF, I think for me it's one of, I say GIF.
I've heard GIF too. I think it's on a Twitter trend or something. It was saying y'all are wrong, it's GIF. I was like, you know what? I prefer GIF anyway, so cheers.
Exactly. It's too late. This is not the kind of thing that you're gonna be able to swing me. It doesn't have that much of an effect. It's GIF. End of conversation. GIF. You know what I'm saying.
And the funny thing is, throwing in a little bit of my nerd self there. in my latest degree that I'm doing, when we talk about teaching language to children, we talk about the origin of words, and literally that is what's happened to the English, any dictionary, but English is what we focus on because we're in the U.S. But English language all these years is literally people said something so long that it became what it is, or people spelled something so long, like color, or the word gotten. I remember in high school you'd be like, gotten is not a word.
Gotten, it's still not a word. I saw someone posted it. No, it's not allowed, John.
Please. Recognize so you say something long enough, and it's funny, in Infinity Wars, Thor says the most insightful thing ever. He says the name of a planet, and then somebody's one of the characters that's a made up word, and he's like, all words are made up, And this is super fun, but super true,
Like, well, how do you counter that? How do you counter that? It's just.
Exactly. So like, yeah, GIF, like I say, GIF is GIF. You know, the only thing you can't really argue with is people's names, because it's their name and they're entitled to it to say it however they want. But other than that, you know, which
I mean, that reminds me of a story, kind of going a bit off topic, but
You can just edit it out.
yeah, exactly. I'll just edit it out. Or like this is where I can introduce my bookmark concept. So like throughout this podcast, as I was speaking directly to listeners now, I'm gonna have this thing where you call bookmark, and essentially this is when you start going off topic from the discussion, and it's a good story, but like I'm just gonna bookmark it and get back to it later on, and then like we'll go through the edits afterwards and see if we keep it. But anyway, so the whole thing with the names, I remember the summer camp I worked at a couple of years ago. There was this kid whose surname was his surname was it was Robert, right? And then we would go like, oh, and I can't remember what his first name, like say like I know some American thing like Chase. But it was we were like Chase Robert, and he was like, no, it's not Robert, it's Robert, and like as in some adding some flex to it, was
French.
like, oh, I'm French, it's Robert. So like to be fair, we believed him, and like no one else questioned it. And then so for the whole 2 weeks we're like, oh yeah, Chase Robert, when we were like calling names out. And then on pickup day his parents showed up, and we were like, oh, you must be Mr. and Mrs. Robert. And they're like, who? Like Robert. It's like, oh no, it's just Robert. So so for like 2 weeks this kid has just been lying to us about his name. He's like, oh no, it's Robert.
That
But
is a G right there. Well done.
I
Well
know,
done.
I'm
Well
pretty
done.
close
Well
to
done, Chase Robert.
yeah, Chase Robert. He could be a politician. But
That's funny.
cool. Anyway, so essentially last point I wanted to cover. I suppose this is quite interesting because I think a lot of what you said earlier about finding your identity within like kind of like the photography and stuff, and I think for a lot of people, especially on kind of creative stuff, it's something that like they're truly, truly passionate about, like so that's kind of like their why. For other people, it's more of a hobby. It's like, how can I be disciplined within this hobby? And then obviously, like I think for the two of us, growing up, it was football. So football was like we are passionate about football. It's like this is not a hobby. I will wake up any single day of the week and go play football. This is like my motivation. But so now I think personally, an issue that I've had is kind of pretty much. I mean, like pretty much accepting that obviously football's not like gonna work out by unless like some miracle, like I know, just you never know, fingers crossed. But there's an element where, okay, obviously like you reach a point where you're like, okay, this dream is over now I need to like refocus that energy into something else. So kind of two questions, like at what point did you kind of realize, okay, yeah, football's over? And secondly, how did you kind of figure out what your the next kind of thing that you're putting your energy into was?
So I made a deal with myself. I told myself at 23, because you also know like how these industries work. You know, so in football, for example, you can't make it at 30. Like you can, it's very unlikely. But if
Yeah,
you're
you're
making it at 30, you have a very you're gonna have a very short career. You know,
cash in quick, bro. Go
exactly.
to like up. You just like put some zeros on that contract.
Exactly. So I told myself that at 23, if by 23 I'm not at a like professional team squad, or I'm not, or if, because I came to the US, I'm not having these conversations with like agents and stuff like that. There is no point, because even if I went to football, I wouldn't be the kind of player that I wanted to be, you know. So I told myself, I gave myself that cap when I was like 18 or 19 years old, you know. But honestly speaking, when I came to HBC and I got injured, and as I was ending my year in HBC and that injury was still bothering me, you know, and then I went to Turkey on my gap year and I played there, and I saw how it still bothered me. By then I was like, look, if football doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world for me. Just because I knew that I was injury prone. Like I'd get injured so easily, it was ridiculous. Every time I was performing well, I'd get injured. So I was like, what will I want to be doing this 5 years from now when my body literally aches from just running or changing direction? Because it was a groin injury. So that was that. But literally was like, my cap was 23. I was like, 23, I'm not enjoying football. I don't want to say that, but like, I wasn't having a good experience with my team, you know. So I was like, that's it for me. In terms of rediscovering your passion, because I was fortunate enough that I got injured at HBC and then I got injured in college again. At in HBC or high school, when I got injured, I shut down. I locked myself in, you know, and I didn't make most of my year in the resources that I had at HBC. In college, when things weren't going well, coach wasn't playing me, instead of investing only in soccer, I just said yes to different things. So and that's the thing. If you know your passion, it's easier. Because you're like, oh, I can't do soccer. I'll go into music. I'll go into writing or podcasts videos or photography. But if you don't know, just say yes to anything that comes up. Give it a try. You'll find something that you're interested in. You know, you'll find something that you're naturally good at or you have like an inclination towards. And then you just pick that up. You know, for me, it was like art. I like expressing myself. It's healthy. And I was like, photography, it's easier to get a camera. You can take pictures. You can learn. You know,
yeah, it doesn't have like a big startup cost or anything.
Exactly. If you have a phone, you can do it. You know, I'm fortunate enough that I was able to afford a camera at some point, saved up and I bought one. So then that worked out for me. But I think it's just that, like, saying yes to different experiences. I'm telling you, like, there's no person that there's just one thing that they can do.
Yeah.
You always rediscover a passion. You know.
Yeah. And even like the transferable skills as well. Yeah.
Exactly. So I know that I'm good with public speaking, you know, so I want to do something with that to inspire people, you know. You did soccer, maybe you'll find out that you like coaching, although a lot of players go there or they don't want to go there.
But the thing is, like, even from coaching, you can go like, okay, what skills can I get from there? It's like teaching, and then you can kind of go into like academia and become like a professor, and like it's just like the different ways. Or you could be like, for me, it'd be like, oh, go into like say occupational psychology and start working with like performance teams and that kind of stuff. But that's still an element of coaching. I think it's just like taking a step back and going, what skills have I picked up from this that I can use in different areas?
Exactly. And it's never healthy. I know we do this a lot, especially with athletes. But it's never healthy to play your identity on one ability, because something can happen at any point in life. Maybe if it's sports, it's going to be age. If it's art or something, maybe like a end of a contract or
change in like theme or like whatever's like in at the moment.
You know? Yeah. You know, and then you're screwed because you place all of what you are in that, you know? So you always have to have other things that are going to remind you. I remember a certain someone like used to tell me, hey, you're more than just soccer. And I used to feel super offended, you know. But now, years later, I'm like, yeah, she was right. Like, I am more than just soccer.
Yeah.
You know? thank you for that one. Even though I didn't take it well back then. But like, I realized that there's more to life than just that. Yeah.
No, I completely agree. And I think this is actually something I do want to talk about as well to other people in some like in detail. Is you've had, if kind of growing up you had a certain identity, that's who you were, and now it's kind of you've lost it. How do you not necessarily that you've lost it or it's finished essentially, so like if you did competitive sport or like if you were like I know you're always really into acting or whatever as a kid, and then like you've lost it. I say as a kid because obviously speaking from my experience, early 20s, that's kind of the transitional phase. Like, what am I going to do now? Because that has played out. So there's a lot of kind of essentially finding yourself again. So, that's quite interesting. I think for me, I kind of like I figured football was over. Like, maybe I think it's probably like when in my third year of university, where I went into placement. So placement, I did an internship, and then I was working full time, and I was like, it was found it really difficult to keep up both football and competitive, like football at a certain level and work. And then when I went back to university after my internship for my final year, I was like, let me just try and enjoy football, as opposed to take it too seriously. And then it got to my final year, I was like, I'm graduating. I mean, it was a fun ride. I'm going to keep playing it socially, because previously I'd taken it so competitively, I think to an extent I lost the enjoyment. So I was like, and then because I was like, let me just enjoy it, I didn't take it like as seriously in terms of putting in the same effort. So it kind of like tailed off. But and then in terms of kind of like finding what I was interested in afterwards, I was just like pretty much like you, just an element of kind of trying different things and how do I express myself. I think that's where I came from. It's like, how do I express myself now? How do I kind of show what my identity is? Because it's not it's not just showing your identity to other people. It's by showing it to other people, you're confirming it to yourself as well.
Yeah.
So obviously not saying that you have to do it that way, but I mean in the sense that like that's just one way in which you kind of be quite self assured. But
and I think again this whole process is about being honest with yourself, because it's easy to get with like, oh, photography is trending, let me do that.
And podcasts are interesting. Everyone's doing it now.
You're a natural talker. You like talking. You enjoy. You're funny. So that works out for you. You know, I like films. You know, my friends. Yeah. Even before I got into it, and I used to talk about like ideas. I was like, oh, this movie. This is what's cool about it. Whatever. They're like, why don't you do that? I was like, well, I have African parents. There's no way I'm gonna go into school for
film. But I mean, we could bookmark that and have a whole different conversation.
Now thankfully there's like the industry allows you, or allows us with YouTube for example, it allows us to live that dream in a different way, you know. So I don't have to be the next Ryan Coogler or freaking the Russo brothers and have to come up with like the best Marvel movies ever, but like, you know what, I'm like, you know, I want to tell stories from people that otherwise wouldn't be told. I can just do a documentary. I can honestly today make a terrible documentary. You'll post it on YouTube. Maybe get 5 views and be happy with it. You know?
Yeah. You get your kind of level of like accomplishment off the back of that.
Exactly. So it's just being honest with yourself, like you said earlier, your why. Staying true to that. I'm happy with what I just said.
I'll write the transcript up and then you can kind of put that in your like in an acceptance speech later. Thank you very much, Caesar, for very interesting conversation. This is going to be like the first of many. I think that I've had a lot of fun kind of doing this and literally getting started, that I think now kind of building the momentum and just kind of enjoying it, and then you can kind of not bigger and better things, but just kind of continue the momentum. If you enjoy it, that's what's quite important. So,
well, there you have it. Thank you very much for listening to my very first podcast episode. Massive thank you again to Caesar for joining me on this episode on getting started. I hope you guys at least found one nugget of information that you could take with you. If you have any thoughts, comments, or feedback, please feel free to get in touch. I'd love to hear what you guys think, and keep an eye out for my upcoming episodes too.